cliffcentral.com.
Back with Wedding Central every week. Anything about weddings, you're tuning into Wedding Central. You're with myself and Ntombi Nhlapho.
And myself, Carly de Villiers.
And in studio today, we're really, really excited. We have Mukhadi and Sasha from LA Weddings. And the conversation, what's the conversation today about, Carly?
So we're talking about the whole, I think we can call it quite a trend now at the moment, the lounging around, you know, the literally the lounge sure. pockets for your functions and your weddings. I think it does create a different dynamic to the look and feel of your wedding. So I think that's what we want to actually talk about today. Yeah. Creating different experiences for
through your furniture choices. Yeah, 100%. So ladies, let's start from something basic. Why would I traditionally 10 years ago, whatever the case was, people used to just go with whatever whatever chairs were at the venue.
No, or just cocktail tables and tablecloths.
Yeah, that used to be like, remember?
And people, God, I can't remember. Yeah. And chairs with chair covers.
Exactly. Remember those conference chairs?
Oh my God, if I have to do 200 chair covers, I think I'd just vomit. Just
so that's kind of where it started. And then obviously things slowly started to change and people started to then realize that, you know what? I can go for a chair that doesn't need a chair cover. I can go for different pieces of furniture. I don't only have
naked tables.
Yeah. Yes, I don't only have to look at those kinds of things. So through, you know, based on that, can you guys tell us a little bit about the trend and how the furniture trend has kind of evolved from, you know, chair covers and tablecloths to where we are now?
I think just, you know, from what I've picked up in, I mean, what's it now going on 3 years of working in this industry. For me, you know, back in the day, brides used to go to a venue and pay a set amount and just, this is what you got. Mm. And you sort of had to deal with that. Mm. And it was a lot of like the chiffons and the silks and the stretch, like you say. But now it's more like, and I encourage and I urge the brides to be, you know, be different and showcase your lifestyle, showcase your personality from the furniture to the decor, to the music, to the venue. I mean, so from LA Weddings side of things, we are very blessed to have a vast variety of furniture.
Mm.
I mean, to even try and count the set pieces that we have, I mean, to estimate we've got maybe close to almost now 25,000 pieces.
Mm. I mean, I've walked through your warehouse. It's massive. You may get lost. It's so many things, so many pieces, so many bits of furniture.
But we have evolved, and you know, so many brides nowadays, they have their venues and they choose not to use the tablecloths.
Mm.
Some brides do. Mm. Our dining tables just have clean, elegant lines from the high gloss white finishes to some brides that have really been ballsy and they've gone for black dining tables.
Mm.
We've got the natural woods, the raw woods, different finishes, varnished, natural, sort of worn out wood.
Mm.
We've got so many.
And it completely like changes the look and feel to an entire venue when you are using a black tablecloth, a table, or a white washed type of table. It can completely change the whole dynamic of that particular venue and the style of the wedding.
Yeah, and even with linen, I always say to clients, having a clean table that doesn't have linen and having the table speak volumes already also changes the entire dynamic of, you know, the styling of the flowers and everything else.
Yeah.
You look is completely different to what you would have if you would have had linen over that. Just out of curiosity, what do you think is the most social table? Because nowadays, you know, back in the day,
nice question. Everyone wants to know. Round, square, long.
We've always had round tables, and then somebody came with squares, and everyone was like, "Yo, now we're in." And now, you know, then there's long tables. What is the
and
most,
there's curved tables now.
These S tables.
The S shapes.
Have you got S shapes? Or?
No, but you know, we get so many inquiries. Like, can you make them? And we are in the process because we try to cater for everyone.
Right.
But it takes up a lot of space.
It does.
Mm. So you
for
know,
me
you,
personally, I think the most social table is a bit of all of them.
Mm.
And it also depends on what venue you're using. Some venues can't have those long tables, which I love personally. Some venues can only take up, you know, X amount of tables, which then our squares, which are 1.8 by 1.8, they might not work. So then we would have to go back to the round banqueting with an elegant cloth. And then it also depends on your linens, you know, what look and feel the bride's going for. Mm. If you have a lot of detail in your linens, maybe you want to simplify the decor, make that more elegant. Mm. Or if you've got a simple, plain white, you know, tablecloth, you might want to go out on your decor.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And then, and what about how many people I'm seating at the table? Because I find that sometimes this is also a mistake that a lot of clients make.
Pack them in there.
Let's put 12.
You know, and the thing is, I think they're trying to save on cost, because obviously the less people I have, then the more tables I'll have to have. That means more decor, more chairs, more of everything. So I think that's the idea. But ideally, if somebody is doing, you know, a standard round table or a standard square, what is the recommended amount of guests that we should be seating at these tables? I know people are going to say max it out, so, you know, for rounds 10 and for 12, for squares 12, but what should be our maximum?
Me personally, I would say 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Look, our round tables can seat up to 10, and you would have enough arm space for next to you. I mean, you get, you know, Uncle John sitting next to you that might be quite large, so you do need your space, and you don't want your cutlery on top of someone else's cutlery and glasses touching. I mean, it's the worst thing.
It ends up looking cluttered is the issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then there's no place, and you want us to put three glasses, and you have a base plate, you know.
And then all the decor is taking up the whole center of the table.
And there's no space for the bread and the wine.
You've got to remember, the way people feel is going to depict the mood in the actual for the actual wedding. So if guests are sitting on a very uncomfortable chair, or they're feeling very tucked into their tables, and they can't actually open their elbows up when it comes to eating, you're going to feel that people are going to have a negative vibe about them.
And your feet are constantly hooking on, your heel is constantly hooking on the, you know, the chiffon or the tablecloth. So, I mean, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is a nightmare. And then also, what about spacing between tables? Because I find this is also a huge issue that people aren't aware of. If somebody is dry hiring from you, so anybody who's listening, we refer to, if you don't have somebody who's coordinating the wedding for you, dry hire simply means you call someone up, they send you an invoice, they come and they deliver, and they leave. Now you are going to set up with your friends or whoever the case, or whoever you have on site, whatever the case is. What about spacing between tables? Because I find sometimes when people are creating floor plans, they never really add the chairs.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you add the chairs.
And there's no space.
Yeah, there's no space.
And the waiters can't get through you, and they're bumping
and
everyone.
And, you know, even with African weddings, I mean, anything goes, you know, anytime they pop up and they start singing.
There
and
goes
dancing,
the chair.
And, you know, and there's no space for that. So what would you recommend in terms of how am I going to space out my tables?
I normally always suggest at least a meter between, you know, chair to chair. So, for example, if I have to stand up and move my chair out, and the table behind me, that guest has to do the same thing. Our chairs shouldn't be able to touch.
Yeah.
It's also difficult because, you know, all venues are not the same size, and you need to accommodate per venue. But normally I always tell our brides, I mean, you know, we do supply the full management, the wedding planning, that sort of service, but it's not a must. You come to us and you say, you know, I'm a do it all myself kind of bride, and I just need X, Y, and Z. We can supply that, deliver that for you. We've got qualified team leaders that will be on site.
Right.
Normally we ask for, you know, all the general information. We need to know where the venue is. We familiarize ourselves with the venue itself. So we'll be able to say, listen, these tables would fit in easily, and we would normally, I would personally normally tell the bride, I'm willing to do up a floor plan for you.
Right.
I normally give that to our team leaders, and our team leaders on site then set up the furniture as per that floor plan.
Yeah, then it makes sense.
You know what I do? I always say you need to allocate 16 square meters per table. It's 4 meters by 4 meters. Then you've got enough space.
100%, yeah. Because, yeah, otherwise, the whole issue is are people able to sit comfortably? Can I lean back in my chair? And also, if I want to go to the bathroom, do I have to put in notice at the table?
And bear in mind, waiters are constantly up and down between the chairs as well.
And it does really impact on your guest experience. Is that going to be, you know, if I feel like a sardine, I'm not going to have a good time. People even go and stand up and watch the speeches at the back.
You can pack them in the winter months. months. People like to be tight together.
Just to add in
there, sometimes brides don't think about all those logistics beforehand. So it's always nice to have someone who's sort of well-versed and who knows the different types of venues. We can mix and match this with that to give you some guidance to say, think about this, consider that. So it's a value add that LA Weddings does offer.
Right.
Where we do consult with the bride, with the venue, just to let everything run smoothly and there isn't that it's uncomfortable, we didn't know and this didn't happen.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I should have thought about that.
All the little details that people tend to forget. Yes. About
brides are also just very like stressed and, you know, I don't want to forget anything.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, financially nowadays, it's not cheap.
Right.
To have the wedding of your dreams.
In fact, it's not cheap to do anything.
It's not. Exactly.
I always use the example, if you go to Pick and Pay with R1,000,
get nothing.
What really are you going to come out with? It's not really cheap.
Maybe
to
like
do
two
anything.
Packets?
Yeah, yeah. It's not cheap. Yeah.
What are the elements that, you know, clients are coming to you for furniture? So, you know, it's, yes, obviously the reception, but there's certain trendy things that are coming into play before the wedding or during the wedding where you are creating these experience kind of stations. What are you finding that's
for? I mean, it differs per bridal couple, but I can give you a few examples. I mean, I always stress, you know, try and make it an experience from when your guests arrive to when they're leaving. Simple examples, maybe you'd want to pre-drinks area. You know, guests get very bored and when they have to just stand around and there's no entertainment. I mean, just simple little things that might make them think, oh, this is so like them, you know. You might have like a little, it was like a picnic section where there was a projector screen and then we did like a whole story of the bride and groom from day of birth to when they met and how many days they lived together. It was
tell us
I'm thinking about flower walls. I mean that's quite popular, the flower walls where they just want like a sort of a themed wall,
a photo wall.
So it's a photo wall, that's you know,
nice, and people take pictures and people sort of make their own thing. And I've also had one where there was a cigar and whiskey lounge
is on. That's what I was trying to get out of there. I was asking you, but I just thought, you know, like,
let me carry on.
Yeah.
But we do all of that. Yeah. From your champagne little, you know, stations from your French couches, your Chase lounges, to your rich Chesterfield couches to create that whole cigar lounge, cigar bar. I mean, we've got such a wide variety.
I wanted to ask about that. If somebody is I've got 200 guests that are coming to the wedding, how would you suggest, now I'm trying to create this whole cocktail experience, and it really is, I think the cocktail, the big parts for the cocktail are, you know, the food, the drink, the entertainment, and the seating, because that then creates a fully rounded experience. Do you know what I mean? What pieces of furniture would be ideal for me to look at to hire for that particular setting? And also, a pertinent question is, what percentage of my guests should I be trying to seat? Do you know what I mean? If I've got 200 guests, am I trying to create
seat all of them
for 200? You know what I mean? Somebody who's listening who doesn't have an idea, how do I go about it? Do they do all lounges? Do they include, you know, what do you guys recommend in terms of key furniture pieces that would be able to create easy flow of conversation, easy, that kind of thing? What would you recommend in that setting?
We generally go for a combination of your cafe, your cocktail. We have a few day beds that can
and
just...
And what's the difference between cafe? For somebody who's listening who has no idea, what's the difference between cafe versus cocktail?
Cafe is your lower table with sort of dining chairs or ghost chairs, Tiffany chairs, you know.
Like your, a proper seated.
Yes, a proper small four-seater table.
Like something that you would find almost like a restaurant.
Kind of, like your little kind of bistro table. Yeah, it's one of those. Then your cocktail is obviously the higher table with the bar stools. We also, you know, from your four seaters, we do six seaters, we do eight seaters, which are little rectangular ones that can just accommodate and seat more.
Right.
It also creates a different look and feel if you have different textures, different shapes outside or in a room.
So I know you've got like the you call them, I think, conversation tables. That's nice because you feel like you're at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, like a shawarma bar type thing.
Yeah, I love those. And also those don't actually force somebody to have to get chairs. You can stand. Yeah, because it does have that feel that, you know, you are just chilling, you're waiting for the next part. You know, almost like when you're waiting at a restaurant to get you a table and then you just wait at the bar,
have a drink
or whatever.
And
it is very, very social. Love, love, love.
We also have have the day beds, from your deep button to the ones with little backrests that, you know, you might just...
That you can literally lounge.
Lie on. We throw, like, beautiful, huge, fluffy cushions on. Maybe we roll up a few throws if it's a bit cold, you know. We also have... We do try to have a few lounge pockets. So we have, like, comfortable lounging as well as your cafe, your cocktail, the bar units as well. And then generally, going back to your question, if you're having pre-drinks for, say, 200 people or your cocktail section for 200 people, we generally like to estimate and say, let's at least provide seating for 50 to 70%. So anywhere between 100 at least seated.
Yeah.
I mean, because people are constantly getting up to go and socialize with someone else.
So. And I think when, when you're starting to look at that pre-reception area, it's a big thing to consider the older people. Don't just go for cocktail type seating. You want, you're going to have to have...
Try and accommodate everyone.
Yes, you're going to try and have to have
just
the
cocktail. Just in terms
cocktail.
Of support, I think that's what you're talking about. Because the bar stools usually don't have a back. And if they do, it's a very... It's not something that's meant to support. It's usually
you can't have your 8-year-old granny sitting on a bar stool.
It's not easy for an elderly lady to get up onto a bar stool.
No.
100%.
The Tiffany bar chairs... What are your thoughts on those? The tall ones that are like, what, I don't know what if they have a different name, but it's the style of a Tiffany chair, but they're just higher.
I'm not a fan.
Because those are not very stable.
I'm not a fan. I've heard stories that, you know, some people have fallen.
Yes. I'm not a fan of those.
Yeah, we don't stock those.
Yeah.
A lot of our bar stools are...
Strong,
padded,
and metal, and
sturdy. We've got, you know, a variety from your industrial look and finish, your Tolex, which have backs and some don't have backs. Then we've got your more luxurious, which have comfortable padded backs, high backs, so you are quite comfortable with the push-ups.
Yeah, the levels,
Some of them don't, but yeah, there's just a wide variety that obviously will suit your look and feel, and your pocket.
Yeah. And then how do I plan around how I'm setting this stuff up? Let's say, for example, I just go to your website and I download the catalog. I don't, you know, call anyone or whatever the case is. And off that, I'm now trying to book furniture without a consultant. I'm a DIY bride or whatever the case is. How would you suggest I'm selecting my particular pieces? Do you know what I mean? If you're saying to me, right, I'm seating 50% of my guests. So I know I've got 200 guests. I need to seat about 100 of them. How am I now dividing that up into, you know, this many people are going to have cocktail, these ones aren't going to have chairs, these ones are going to have these. Like, how would you recommend you go about planning that kind of a setup?
Well, it also, it depends on, you know, your guests as well. If I know that I have a majority of elderly guests coming, I would look to try and do more lounge pockets.
Okay.
Also lounge pockets that are not too low so that they don't have to sort of
get
fall when they're getting up and sitting. But generally, I try to have, if it's 100, I try to seat at least, you know, close to half of that in lounge pockets and then split the rest.
Okay.
Cocktail and cafe.
Okay.
Your cocktail and cafe vibe is allowing your guests to move freely and, you know, go get some drinks, have some canapes, chat to this one, chat to that aunt.
Right.
And you'll find that your lounge pockets will accommodate the elderly more than people that are wanting to socialize. Because the elderly, I mean, your gran, your great aunt, they're not really going to be wanting to walk around. People will come and chat to them.
Yeah, literally. So, and then also it's very important for people to understand that with lounge pockets, you must also get coffee tables.
And sides.
And side tables. People, you know, if you think of your lounge at home, if you've got a drink or whatever,
where do you put it?
So you need the size, depending on also the size of that, you know, if somebody has to stretch to get to the coffee table, that's when you then need to start considering
side tables.
Considering your side tables.
I always just try and look at it, you know, I know to add the few extra things does add more into the budget, but to add that little bit more and to make that little bit of an extra touch or go out of your way in that sense, it does so much for your guests.
Yeah.
It makes it feel so much more easier
for them. It makes them feel like, okay, wow, they considered us. They thought about us.
Mm.
I don't have to get up to go put my glass down.
Mm. Right, yeah. It adds to the guest experience. I always say, you know, if you go to a restaurant, the service always counts more than the food. So if you have a waiter who's almost just there, just before you ask for anything, he's already bringing another drink or whatever the case is, then you find that the service is much better. And a wedding almost has to work in a very similar way.
Yeah.
You have to almost think of all the things that your guests are going to want for, and you know, when you've accommodated and you have ashtrays and you have shade and you have, you know, the tables and the coffee tables, they think, shucks, they really did go all out and think about all the things that we may possibly need.
Let's chat about the location. So, you know, it depends on the venue that has been chosen, where the wedding or the event is being held. What, you know, when you're looking at the location and choosing furniture, what would you need to consider? Things like, you know, maybe they're getting married at their home in their yard. Mm. You know, things like what do you have to consider? The ground, the levels?
Definitely the ground. I mean, obviously, if it is something at home, you know, they would most likely have your marquee or your stretch tent, your Bedouin. They would need to have flooring done because the tables need to be placed on a stable ground.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's nothing worse than you have a wonky, you know, table, and then your decor goes flying everywhere, or your glasses, and
or the dust is just going everywhere. Yes. I mean, I think that's a big thing here in Tombi when it comes to a home wedding, especially the traditional weddings.
Yeah, especially traditional weddings. Number one, a lot of people may decide to have it on the street, or you have it in your yard, and a lot of times people don't. They haven't prepped their ground for that particular thing, so it's maybe dusty or whatever the case is. You know, you can go out and use a hose and wet everything before everything comes in, so that if there is a gust of wind,
nothing
it's not
gets
going to
lifted.
Be dusty and that kind of thing. It's the same thing as I always say, shade. People always they don't plan for enough shade. Nobody likes to stand in the sun.
No.
Yes, we love the heat of it or whatever the case is, but nobody wants to stand in direct sunlight for an hour and a half. Yeah, or 2 hours. So people do need to consider some kind of, whether you're putting in an additional Bedouin or bringing in big Caribbean umbrellas or whatever the case is.
Just have enough shade for those who don't want to be in the sun.
Yeah.
Have enough so it still feels warm, but have some kind of shelter so that people don't feel like, oh my word, we're literally being bride here.
Something else to consider also is the time of the event. I mean, obviously, if it's going to run overnight, we need to obviously be aware so we can then manage, you know, all those that goes behind all of that.
Well, what about the types of material that you're choosing of couch or something? You know, when it comes to the water and the waterproofing, you know, is the wedding going to be outside? What happens if it rains?
That's also difficult for us because our number one question is, if we know it's an outdoor wedding, you know, have you provided, will there be a Bedouin? Will there be a marquee? Is it undercover?
Yeah.
Because so much of our furniture has been damaged before.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, you know, no matter how good of a quality you cover your couch in, if that couch is sitting in pouring rain, that couch is damaged.
Mm-hmm.
We have to then recover, reupholster, you know, and then that takes stock out of our
inventory.
And, you know, so we always ask that question because, I mean, I don't think there's a single piece of furniture that can withstand bad weather.
Yeah, 100%.
In a sense.
Mm-hmm. And then what about moving furniture? So I have a lot of clients who love to say, right, if we do the furniture, once people go in, shall we move it inside? Do you know what I mean?
To reuse
it later.
I love that idea.
Mm.
In a sense, in
logistically, that is another. We're all like looking at each other.
Theory.
Can we say it or
not?
It does become, and it can become, a nightmare.
Mm.
I mean, if you have me and our team on site to manage, and if we make that arrangement, you know, obviously you need to have your guests distracted with something so that they don't see us relocating and
you're not saying, sorry,
I mean, imagine as a guest, you're standing there and you're like, okay, now they're moving those inside and now we're in the way. Mm.
And brides, they'll say, can't we just move the chairs quickly from ceremony to reception?
Yeah.
You know, you can't actually do that while your guests are
are there
in pre-reception and walking through.
It just, there's so many things that you need to consider. Number one, how many chairs are you trying to move? Yeah. You know, if you're just moving two chairs,
that's
not
a different story. Yeah. But 1,000 chairs,
it's
or 200 even is disruptive.
It's really,
you know,
really disruptive. Also, do you have the team? Do you have the manpower to do that? Because if you leave it up to the venue can't help you. Why? Because your waiters are busy with your guests during.
But another
hour.
Thing is, something we really pride ourselves in is we don't like it when other people move our furniture. You know, there's many reasons, but the biggest reason is if someone else moves our furniture, someone at the venue, and our couch or our chair gets damaged, you as the client are then liable. So that's why we always say, you know, if these things are needed, you know, just let us know.
Right.
And we can prepare and we can make sure that we have that teams and hands there, our own guys, to do it for you.
Yeah. But the point I was making was that, so you have your people and now you want to move stuff, and people don't realize that even the things that you need to move the furniture, because there's specific chair trolleys and things that you need.
Yeah.
Then also the actual management of getting that stuff all into the venue. Do you know what I mean? That's going to dirty your venue because now you're dragging in dirt from this place to that place and it's going to take so much
time. And you've got guys
time.
In overalls moving things.
Yes,
you know?
The breakages also. People knock things over by mistake because people are trying to rush. People are trying to get the chairs in. People are, so, you know, glasses are breaking, vases are falling. All of those things are happening. So you have
sounds disastrous.
Yeah. But I just, you know,
I'm sure it happens.
Yes. Because sometimes you've only got an hour. Do you know what I mean? Before the and now you
and you shouldn't want to, you shouldn't need to have more than an hour and a half hour for your cocktail.
But I also
evening.
Think, like, as a bride, I mean, that's just such a headache to even know. I mean, you're not personally as the bride doing it, but
well,
just
you're not
to
even
know.
There. You don't even
okay,
know
guys, this is actually happening right now.
Yeah, so I wouldn't suggest to, you know, anybody who's listening, if you are thinking of reusing your furniture, you really have to consider the logistics, the space, the timing, and see if that's a feasible option, because sometimes you will just have to order then a different set of chairs.
Ask us, you know, just ask us, is it doable? This is what we were thinking.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. It you know, it helps things when it comes to your budget and your bottom line, but, you know, any consultant will tell you, it is doable, but this is what's going
to
happen. Or, you know, but I
listen
think just communicating and being open.
And I think
about
trusting
everything.
Your suppliers, because you know what? You specialize in decor and furniture, and Tombi in wedding planning, myself in flowers and decor. It just, you know, rather
we've
trust the people you have got to be on your side.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to then move on to chairs. So now I want to speak about reception chairs particularly.
Why, Toby? Why?
Because particularly for black people, we are bigger weight. Black people and Afrikaans
people. Afrikaans people, yeah.
Are bigger.
We're bigger.
The men.
We're bigger
the
people.
Men are,
yeah. We're bigger people. And you really have to consider the chairs that you're trying to order and figure out, is this going to work for the client type? My guests who are attending the wedding, are they going to feel comfortable? I've had an instance where a client ordered particular chairs, and then I said to them, oh, I don't think it's going to work. And when they saw the chair, they realized that it's not about the structure of the chair, it's about somebody trusting the chair. Do you understand what I mean? There's sometimes Tiffany chairs, you know, these days they don't actually make them out of wood, it's like the steel or whatever. You know, the chair is going to be fine, but the issue is, does the person feel comfortable?
Do they feel like they're supported?
And
do
safe,
I feel like I'm
safe?
You find that somebody's so tense the whole time.
Because they're worried.
Because they're so worried that one wrong move, this chair is going to break.
I had, we had a wedding at Monte Cassino, and we didn't supply the chairs. Obviously, the bride wanted to go with a more cost-effective chair. I can't even count how many guests fell off of chairs because chairs' legs just snap. And it's something you don't think of. I mean, to be honest, as a bride, you're just like, okay, these chairs will still look very nice with that table. And it's actually a lot cheaper.
Right.
So what we do is the bulk of our reception chair, we call them the Louis chair. We've got a lot of those. They are wooden, white, leathered, upholstered chairs. They are not very large, but they can cater for a variety of, you know, different sizes. I've used them many times. I've seen larger people, heavier people sit on them.
What's the maximum capacity on a Louis chair? And what, Tiffany's are a little bit, it's 110 kilos, huh?
Oh, really?
On a Tiffany.
Yeah.
And they're not very comfortable.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, have you guys got Tiffany?
We do.
You don't.
We've got the Phoenix as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ghost chairs.
Which are like the most, I guess, cost effective.
So yeah, they are.
When
clients are looking for, no, I don't want to use the venue chair, then let's go with the Tiffany. It's like the next.
You know what? To be honest with you, brides will want Tiffany chairs and they will want, you know, the more cost effective chairs. I will always stipulate that they have to have about 10 extra just in case something happens. Okay. But she must know she is hiring those chairs, not me, because if anybody had to fall and hurt themselves, liability. Who's actually liable for it?
Mm. Now, guests tend to look at, oh, who's your furniture supplier?
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
and shame, we must be honest, a lot of the blame sits with the venue, because somebody who's attending the wedding
And they look at you and Tombi and they're like, my chair, you know,
now you're running and whatever the case is, but a lot of the blame falls to that, but the liability does sit with that. And if somebody does get seriously hurt, you can break your coccyx.
Yes.
You know, if you have a bad fall or whatever the case is. So those things are things to consider. But which chair... another thing that I wanted to ask in terms of chairs. So weight is an issue to consider. But what about people have a fear of mixing chairs?
Oh, I love mixing chairs.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I think it's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, suppliers have no issues. But trying to get a bride...
Like,
to
look,
say
all,
to
of,
her,
all of our eyes just lit up when he talked.
Because it's different.
Yeah, you know, they want to have one chair for all of it. What would you suggest or how would you recommend I could match my styles of chairs? If I am open to the idea of having different chairs. And when I say different chairs, I'm not particularly talking about different color chairs. So just having
different
a white
styles.
Chair, a black, literally different styles of chairs. Mm. And the same goes with the lounge furniture.
Mm.
What are maybe some guidelines to consider when trying to, you know, do different styles, but making sure that it's still going to work when everything's together?
You know, sometimes these things are very visual. You need to actually see it. I mean, I can tell you it looks good with this, it looks good with that. Until you see it and actually look at it and touch it, you won't really understand. So what we are able to do as well is do mock setups.
Right.
So we can say, let's put a few looks together. Let's come and have a look and see what works, what doesn't work, which is a nice value add. People can see and feel and let's
the
change.
Different textures, the different finishes, you know.
And I mean, you think about your ceremony. Everyone, it's always in rows and it's always like an aisle, you know.
But to have different chairs in your ceremony.
Yes.
I mean,
you know,
stunning.
And it's sometimes it's quite uncomfortable sitting on like a normal chair the whole time.
Right.
And something you saw at the conference.
Right.
You know, a conference is a conference, you have chair, you have a table. Why not mix it up and put in lounge pockets and things like that? So, you know, you can do that with a ceremony as well. Why not?
100%. It really does speak to like you as a style, and I think it's more trendy as well, and people are going to appreciate it. And I find that if you are doing something that's outside, for example, at a venue, for example, at Memoir, and you want to double up and do your ceremony and your cocktail area in the same space, set up your ceremony that it's got some lounges, that it's got some ottomans, that it's got some formal chairs with support, all of those different chairs, because then there's no need for people to rush in and try and change the setup. Then people have enjoyed your ceremony, you can go off for photos and people can still relax.
They can still lounge.
You could even if it was an outside ceremony, you could even your waiters could start bringing cocktails through, you know. It doesn't have to be like get up and rush out type of thing, you know. Why not?
You know, you get the brides that are they love everything to look the same and everything to match.
Uniformity,
so you can't stray away from brides that are like that. But then you get the brides that are like, I'm open to any ideas you have. Mm. And then that's where we as planners can be like, you know, these are the ideas we have. So you might have a beautiful leather couch or a beautiful gray couch and a stunning bespoke piece that's a bit antique-ish and that maybe is a different color with different wooden legs, you know, just that when your guests walk in, they're like, okay, everything doesn't look the same. Nothing really matches, but everything goes with this look and feel.
Absolutely love that. And I feel like sometimes you're not that person. You don't have the eye to do that. Enlist a professional. Go in, speak to them, do a consult. This is one thing that I always stress to my clients. You have to do the work for your wedding. People think that if you've hired a planner, then it's back of mind,
it's
I just
done.
Need to pay and
it's difficult for planners as well.
You still have to go in, see the items, approve that, look at how everything's going to work together. It's not just, you know...
I mean, us as planners, we need to make sure that our brides, you know, that their vision comes to life, mm. that their fairy tale and their story and their lifestyle is mm. sort of brought to life for them.
Yeah, those personal Stunning. Elements.
It's what and so sometimes the family takes over. As you yes. Sometimes absolutely. You get that mother-in-law or that, you know, mother who just mm. wants
or sister or whoever.
Thing, so. You know what I found now? When I've consulted with clients and things like that, and if we're doing a mock set or mm. I always say, please, when the mothers of the brides come mm. in or the bridesmaids, mm. I will actually, before we even show them anything, we will say, please remember this and take note that I've sat with your daughter and your son-in-law sure. to discuss mm. the style of wedding they want, and that's how we've come up with the conceptual mm. conception.
Because sometimes they conception. Forget it's like you came up with your own thing.
No, know? And they don't realize we've sat. Down, yeah.
But there's also a lot of moms that are like, you know, I'm paying for this, so mm. remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
That whole struggle.
Shame. Well, it's been a lovely half an hour. We've chatted for half an hour already. So there's so much you can actually think about when it comes to your styling of your wedding.
Right.
I mean, Tombi and I speak nearly every week about how weddings are conceptualized and whatever, but you know, there's a lot of different elements mm-hmm. you can bring in to style a wedding as well, and bring in your personality.
Yeah, and look at how you're looking at your budget. Sometimes mm. you don't have to spend, Carl, you don't shoot me. Yeah. You don't have to spend all of your money, all of your money on your flowers and the candles and stuff. Having particular furniture pieces may be enough. Mm. To make the wedding look that
absolutely.
Beautiful. So you may be able to get away with less on your flowers and rather spend that money on the furniture and that overall with other elements like your entertainment and the food, etc. Yeah. That may create a better space for you. Mm. Sure. Sasha and Mukhadi, we can't thank you enough for coming through from LA Weddings.
And thank when you think weddings, you think Wedding Central.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For joining us.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
CliffCentral.com.